If you'll find the scripture, John 14, 21, we'll look at it together. It says, Jesus says, the one who has my commands and keeps them, keep is the operative word here, is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal or manifest myself to him. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today. So plain that a child can understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge given to me to speak to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, help me to remember, out of everybody in this audience this hour on this campus today, I'm the one that's under a greater, a more strict judgment because I'm a teacher of your word. I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you guys today. John 14, 21, in a real basic way, says, if you love the Lord, you cover your car in bumper stickers. Have plaques all over your wall. Wear Christian t-shirts all the time. No, it says you obey him. It says you obey my commands. Do we realize, or are we so worldly hypnotized that if Jesus says it, you better pay attention to it? Because whatever he has said is the way it will happen. It's non-negotiable. It's non-negotiable. So he basically says in verse 21, if you love me, then you obey me. You keep my commands. Do you remember when we did the series, the next 40 days, which was after Easter, and not everybody talks about Jesus living on earth for the next 40 days? And we had that series of just bringing to light what happened in those next 40 days. And then at the end of it, Jesus is ascended, physically ascended into heaven. And he's left earth now. He has taken his throne in glory. He is the king sitting on the throne. It doesn't mean that he's going to be king. He's already king. He's not going to be king. He's already king. So then what does he do? I mean, if that's where he is, and it is, then how does all this stuff work? How do you and I connect with the mission of Jesus? How do we connect with the mission of the church? How does that all happen? Well, Jesus directs that. Jesus is the one who points and clicks. And the way he does that is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is serving our Lord, always a witness as to who Jesus is, why he came, what he does, what he has the power to do. The Holy Spirit's always a witness to that. And then he guides the Holy Spirit to guide us to continue the mission of Jesus, his mission, and the mission of the church. And that, if you need a picture, that's the way it works. So he's not going to be king, he's already king. So we're going to find out in John 14 how he uses the Holy Spirit to be able to carry out his mission and the mission of the church. And that's really what we're trying to tune you into in discipleship, is what is the Holy Spirit telling you to do? If the Holy Spirit wants me to do something, I believe he'll tell me, right? I believe he'll tell me. Doesn't mean I'll be obedient to it. He certainly wants me to be obedient to it. But he's not prompting you to have me start new ministries. He's prompting you to do it. My job is to help you carry that out. It's to help equip you with that. And it scares the bejeebers out of some of you. But it's the way it is, and it's working. You're going to hear stuff during housekeeping today that has just been birthed in the last few months of our church. And it's the realizing the Holy Spirit wants me to do this. My pastor needs to equip me, which I'll be more than happy to do. And then we'll coach and sub-coach you all along the way and what's going on. So get the picture of that. He's on the throne. He's carrying out the mission, his mission and the mission of the church, and he's doing it by directing the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. He uses the Holy Spirit as a reminder to us. Let's look at John 14, 25 and 26. The Holy Spirit is used as a reminder. I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you, verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name. The Holy Spirit's always witnessing about Jesus. And he will teach you all things, and he will remind you of everything that I have told you. He'll remind you of this. He'll bring it to light for you. He's used as a reminder. Have you not heard that voice? Have you not heard that voice? I mean, it could be, do this, I want you to do this. Or it could be, don't do this. Remember what Jesus said. Or it could be, shut up. Some people just need to be quiet. And some of you all who are really quiet need to speak up. But he will remind you. You know, you ever seen anybody go, man, they're really bold for the Lord. I wish I was bold like them. And you're going, well, my personality's not their personality. The personality has nothing to do with it. What makes you bold in the Lord is the Holy Spirit. You get your boldness for Christ not from your personality. You get your boldness from Christ because the Holy Spirit helps to give you the power to be bold. So you have to be able to see that. You don't will it. You don't conjure it up. It comes from the Holy Spirit. So he's used as a reminder to what he has taught, what we need to be doing. I was reading something in the last 2 weeks. It said, following the Holy Spirit should not just be a bizarre behavior. Because we can scare people with stuff. You know, following the Holy Spirit just needs to look like obedience. Because we think the Holy Spirit makes us do crazy things. Like for example, have you seen the comedian who's the hypnotist that has people come up and they have them doing the chicken dance and trying to quack like a duck? And nobody in their right mind should volunteer to be on stage with a comedian who's a hypnotist, right? And you think that the Holy Spirit's going to just make you look really, and that's what the comedy show is to make you look really ridiculous. And that's not what the Holy Spirit is about. The Holy Spirit isn't about you being ridiculous. The Holy Spirit is about you being obedient to the mission of Jesus and the mission of the church. That's what he carries out. So don't just think that the Holy Spirit is bizarre behavior. Just know the Holy Spirit, the only thing he's asking you to do is to just be obedient. And that's it. Just be obedient. Just carry out that task that he has. It could be something today, it could be something tomorrow, something he wants you to do in a couple weeks. It could be a whole lot of different things, but just be obedient to that. So it's not just bizarre behavior. Jesus says, if you love me, then you obey me. Look at John 14:15. John 14:15. If you love me, it's a real simple verse, isn't it? If you love me, you will keep my commands. If you love me. Verse 23, right along in the same thing. He says, Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Here it is. You ever seen people that you think are really powerful in the Lord? Are they more special than you? Does he love them more than he does you? No. They're not any more special to him than you. You know what the difference is? They're obedient. The power they walk with is obedience. It really is a picture of this verse. Have you ever made the statement, man, they really walk with God? Well, do they have more scripture memorized than you? Probably not. Been to church more than you? It's not all about that. It includes that. It's just not all about that. It's because they're obedient. The reason they walk, look what happens here. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. And we, look at the pronoun there. We will come to him and make our home with him. They walk with God. What makes them have such an aura of power and presence? Obedience does. It's obedience that does. Are we being obedient? Because you'll get to thinking, the enemy will go, well, God favors them more than you. God loves them more than you. They're more special to him than you. And you'll feel rejected, isolated, left out. And then you're thinking, well, he doesn't care for me like he cares for them. Obedience will get you there. Obedience will have you walking with a power and a presence that's unexplainable. And everybody will know it. It becomes obedience for you to be able to do that. Now let's look at the other side of this. John 14, 24. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my words. Not keep my words. The words that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. But he says, the ones who don't love me don't keep my commands. I'm not talking about a set of rules and regulations for me and you to go by. It's a relationship. But he says, there is a standard here. There is a test here in this verse. And the test is, if you don't love him, then you don't keep his commands. Let me ask you a series of questions. Have you ever had others try to lead you away from the commands of Christ? And I'm talking daily life, weekend life. I'm talking everything. Have you ever had any people try to lead you away from the commands of Christ? And then in that, you hear the Holy Spirit going, I'm going to remind you. I want to remind you. That's a command of our Lord. And you don't need to be doing that. Yeah, we all have, haven't we? Well, what do you do? Let me tell you something. I'm going to make you mad before I make him mad. You understand? I am going to disappoint you before I disappoint him. And you're going, well, the Lord doesn't get mad. He does get mad. He's slow to getting mad, to getting angry, but it does happen. Peter wrote about that. The Gospels wrote about that. In fact, that was one of Chuck's favorite words the other day that he and I were talking. He underlined the word indignant, which means Jesus becomes angry. And what do you do? You obey the Lord. Because this world, and even situational invitation, can pull you away from the commands of Christ. I fully believe and trust the Holy Spirit will remind you, you don't need to be doing that. So when he reminds you, you don't need to be doing that, he's putting up a road sign that the bridge is out, or there's water over the road, or don't go there, or make a U-turn, or whatever, or just stop. It could happen, and we don't heed that. We'll go with the crowd. Old and young, don't just get the teenagers in here. Old and young, we'll go with the crowd. So you say, well, preacher, what do I do? Obey the Lord. And then you will start walking in a power and a presence that's supernatural. But you obey him. Let me ask you a more personal question. Have you led others to break the commands of Christ? Do you lead others to break the commands of Christ? If you do, please stop. There's some scary things in Scripture. I'm going to give you three. One of them, to me, this is scary, is that Jesus said there will be people who have done ministry in my name, that have even overcome demons in my name. They have proclaimed in my name, but I never knew them. That's scary. There's another one by Peter who says it's better for you to have never known the truth than know it and turn your back. That one really frightens me. What's more scary than not knowing the truth? But he said you're better off to have never known the truth than to know it and turn your back on it. That's scary. And then all through the New Testament, the New Testament writers in the Gospels tell you over and over, don't be found as a stumbling block to somebody else. Stumbling blocks are scary places. Don't cause a brother or a sister to fall. Scary places. And you're going, well, Pastor, what do I do? Be obedient. Be obedient. Have you ever had others lead you away from the commands of Christ? Well, what do I do, preacher? Obey the Lord. Have you led other people to break the commands of Christ? Then stop. Stop. Here's the pattern. The pattern is we'll be obedient when it's convenient for us to be, when it's easy. If I were to say life is easy, how many takers do I have? I thought so. Right after Tom died, I made sure I started preaching immediately. Because God called me to preach long before I knew Tom. That's tough. My surrender to Christ had nothing to do with Tom, other than he put Tom in our life and we're forever blessed. But my surrender to Christ doesn't stop when Tom goes to glory. So I made sure as quick as I could that I was preaching the gospel again after Tom died, because I committed my life to it, good or bad. Life's not easy. It's not easy. I said two Sundays ago, if your season hasn't changed, it will. Right? If your season hasn't changed, it will. And I go back to Scripture. It's talking about preaching and proclamation of the gospel, but it's also talking about obedience. It's in season and out of season. It's obedience. You're going, well, Pastor, you're again asking me to be sinless. No, I'm not, but I'm asking you to try. By golly, try. Don't wake up in the morning with the attempt to fail. I mean, try. Try to say, no, that's a command that of my Lord. I don't want to break that. And then turn around and walk away from it. Make sure you don't lead others to it. We end up being convenient. And it's life's not convenient for us. It's just not convenient. It doesn't intend to be convenient. So you and I have to realize if we're going to love him, then we obey him. And our obedience, we walk with a power and a presence that's supernatural. Look, just let this seep into you. It says that the word that you hear is not mine, but it's from the Father who has sent me. And not only that, he says we're with you. We come into you. And you walk with a presence and a power. That's why I've seen some of the people who've gone through the most difficult times of their life are usually the people who walk closest to Christ. Because they walk with a power and they walk with a presence, because they're just doing their best to be obedient, to follow Christ. And Christ says, don't give me lip service. Don't cover your car with bumper stickers. Don't have Jesus plaques and sayings all over your wall. And it's fine if you have the Christian t-shirts, but that doesn't mean that you love me. Jesus says, if you love me, then you keep my commands. That is his little picture frame to see if me and you love him. That's the way he looks at it. I can't change that. That's just what he said. I pay attention not to what you say, but to what you do. Because if you really, really love me, then you're going to keep my commands. Look at 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 24. This is about sacrifice and obedience. And let's see what Scripture says about obedience. Then Samuel said, does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? Look, Samuel said, to obey is better than sacrifice. Now, let me just stop there. We really have the wow moment when we hear of people sacrifice. Well, they left this to go do that, So we'll look at their sacrifice. The Lord says that obedience to him is a greater picture of love than sacrifice is, because he's already said that. That is his standard, regardless of what you think about it. He really does look and see, does Jeff love me? Well, if Jeff loves me, then Jeff will obey me. It's not if I can play a Christian song on my guitar, right? It's not about that. It says, does he follow me? Does he love me? Let me begin to wrap it up with this. I've been married to Julie for 36 years. Julie, outside of Jesus, is one of the best things that's ever happened in my life. My wife, I think Mother Teresa has got to wait in line for Julie to go into heaven. I've often said Julie's never done anything wrong in her life, you know. And there's a lot of that I really, really mean. I do really, really mean. But my love for Julie is based on a covenant. I told her that I'm going to love you when you're healthy. I'm going to love you when you're sick. I'm going to love you when we don't have a dime. And I'm going to love you when we have more than we need. I'm going to love you when me, Mom, and Papa don't love me. There was a time in my life they probably didn't need to love me. But I made a covenant with her. I made a covenant with her. And my whole picture is, if I love Julie, I just keep the covenant. Am I going to go and do things that are going to break away my marriage? What if you saw me and my truck, Rev Outdoors, parked at a strip joint? I mean, let's just be honest. I'm breaking covenant. I'm already telling Julie I may not love you. But if I love her, I'm going to keep my covenant with her. Julie recognizes my love for her and that I will never leave her. But my love for her is that I keep my covenant to her. This is where it is. So she doesn't look, and I don't think she ever wonders, is Jeff going to leave me? I mean, I'm like a wart, man. I'll just pop up somewhere, you know? So do you understand that? She's settled in that. Why? Because I'm going to keep my covenant to Julie. I'm going to keep my covenant to the Lord. There's not an inkling in her mind or mine. And you're going, well, Jeff, you don't live in the real world. Well, then my return would be, then you try being obedient. That's the real world. That's where you walk with power and presence, is in obedience. I don't want to do anything to sacrifice my relationship with you. Anything. I don't want to do anything with that. So we have to realize the picture of that. Jesus looks at it the same way, because he's made a covenant with us. And he hasn't broken his covenant to us, and he hasn't broken his promises to us. They are very, very important to him. It's who he is. When you and I have been faithless, he has remained very, very faithful to us. David Dockery and David Garland. David Dockery is the president of Union University in Jackson, Tennessee. And then David Garland was my New Testament professor in seminary. They wrote a book called The Kingdom of God. And it's based on the Sermon on the Mount. It's a wonderful book. And I got this line from them the other day about Scripture. It says, Scripture and commandments are not meant to be admired, but obeyed. We will wow the world with Scripture, but all Jesus asks you to do is live it out. He didn't tell us we had to adorn ourselves with it. He just said, live it. If you'll just live out my word, the world will see me. Scripture's not to be admired. Scripture is to be obeyed. I want you to look at Matthew 3:2, if you will, for a moment. Jesus began his preaching, and this was his sermon. He said, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. And the picture here is it's both present and future. The kingdom of God is present and future. And here it is. Obedience is kingdom living. Obedience is kingdom living. He says it's here. It's possible for you to live kingdom living here and forever. But it's here. Some of you are thinking, no, kingdom living is future. No, it's not what it says there. It's here. It's near, but it really doesn't look a whole lot like the world. Guys, when the world and other people are pulling you away from his commands, don't go. Just don't do it. Obey the Lord. Please, I beg you, don't lead others to break his commands. And you're saying, well, Pastor, you should feel that way because you love people. You're a pastor. No. I'm warning you. I'm warning you. For his sake and yours, don't lead other people to break the commands of God. Please. I say that out of love for you. So what I do? Obey the Lord. There are people who come to me sometimes and they want me to justify their life. And I'm going, do you know what you need to be doing? Yeah. Well, tell me. What is it? And they'll tell me. Well, just do that. Or maybe it's the other way. You remember Archie Campbell, the doctor on Hee Haw? Hey, doc, my shoulder's hurting when I do that. What's the response? Well, don't do that, you know? So it's not only... what do I do when other people lead me away? Then stop it. Don't go with them. Then please don't be found leading other people to break his commands. And some of you in here crave the power and the presence of God in your life. How do I get that? It's through obedience. You will walk with a presence and a power that is supernatural because the Lord comes in and fills the life of people who are obedient for him, because that's his template. That is his frame to see if we really do love him. I had this conversation with Andrew yesterday. I said, Andrew, I said, I hope I'm getting wiser because I'm definitely getting older. But I said, you can really boil life down into two things. It's either a test or a trial, or it's a temptation. Be found being obedient in both. Pass the test if he gives you one. Go through the trial if the world gives it to you. And then if it's a temptation, don't fall for it. Just be obedient. And you crave his presence, you crave his power. It's through obedience that you get that and that you walk with him. And not only that you walk with him, here's the blessing. This is Jesus, isn't it? He walks with you. And they see Scripture living. Romans 12:1, you have then become a living sacrifice to the world. What he has done in me, he can certainly do in you. Let's pray. Father, will you tell us through the sermon of your Son that the kingdom is here, it's near, and it's possible for us to live in it. Thank you for that. Lord, thank you that we can live in your kingdom and not have to pay rent to the world, you know? Thank you for that. Not only is your kingdom here, it's future and forever. Thank you for that. Thank you for keeping your promises to us. Lord, today these words are difficult. They're not easy to handle. But you do look at how we love you by do we obey you. And if we don't obey you, then it is a signal to you that we don't love you. Father, forgive us when friends, family, the world have led us away from your commands and we followed. You will forgive us. That's who you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, forgive us when we've led others to break your commands. Forgive us. And then, Lord, just teach us your obedience. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that will remind us of you, your word, and what our obedience looks like. Thanks for being our Savior. We celebrate your resurrection today. And through that, you're able to walk with us. And thank you, Lord, for walking with us. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. Our invitation for you to come. We were baptizing 5 in the second service. 2 Sundays ago, we baptized 3. We've got 3 more to baptize next weekend. So we rejoice in that. If you're here, you've never given your life to Christ, never surrendered to him, let today be that day. You come and surrender your life to him. There'll be people in the altar who'll be here to minister to you, with you, and for you. If you're a believer, we offer communion. The bread represents his body given. The drink represents his blood shed. You take the bread, dip it into the drink. Before you consume it, before you eat it, please remember his sacrifice. Give thanks. Tell him you love him. He'll hear it. But the way we tell him we love him is we obey. We thank him for his obedience so that we can have ours and then eat it and remember him. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, will you stand? Tucker's going to lead us. You respond. You come.